Hey there, welcome into the Monday Scramble Podcast. I'm George Savarikas with GolfChannel.com's Jay Coffin and Ryan Lavner. And guys, we are setting the table for Tour Championship Week, the grand finale of the FedEx Cup playoffs at East Lake. Let's start by taking a look at the top five who, with a win at the Tour Championship, can win this thing. Right off the bat at number one, it's the guy who won just a couple weeks ago at the BMW Championship in Dustin Johnson. And these are the point reset for those at home who don't have these numbers memorized. I know that you knew this off the bat, didn't you, Ryan?
Yeah, 1,280 for Paul Casey. Who could forget that? George, you also forgot to mention that these five players control their own destiny. How could you sneak in a FedEx Cup segment without saying control?
Well, we can't say control your own destiny now. So that was why I beat around the bush and said that the top five.
Are we honestly not allowed to say that?
Well, we can't on Golf Central. But really? Digital airwaves, you know.
You can say anything on this.
Put loose and fancy free here so you can say. Yeah, so those five guys with the win the Grand Poobah.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way it should be, except for, you know, what I really want to have happen, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I want Paul Casey to finish second and not win all year long and take home $10 million.
You're an anarchist, aren't you?
I want that. Yeah,
it could happen.
It actually could happen
second
fairly easily.
If DJ doesn't play well, if Patrick Reed doesn't play well.
Don't play good golf.
If Adam Scott, Jason Day is hurt, who knows if he's even going to be able to tee it up. So if those four guys don't play all that great, and Paul Casey finishes second, there's a possibility.
Sure it is.
That the doomsday scenario for the FedEx Cup actually happens, and then we can all cheer.
All cheer? Just,
that would be terrific, because they'd have to blow this thing up.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Nothing would change.
They have to blow it up. No, it's a doomsday scenario.
They've futzed with this, format for so long over the last 10 years. But wanted to make sure that I enunciated myself, talking about no rules on digital.
In this digital studio, apparently.
But they've messed with this format so much over the last 10 years that they do have it to a place that they like. And while we've had a lot of opportunities for somebody to take away the $10 million who has not won. I think Adam Scott a couple years ago. It's every other year it kind of comes up. There is a chance of it happening. If it does happen, they're not going to blow it up.
But if Dustin Johnson does not win, if Jason Day does not win, then you do have the potential that this season-long race, the guy who's supposed to be playing best throughout the entire 2015-16 season, does not get
rewarded. But it's weighted in the playoffs. It's not evenly distributed throughout the year. It's called a playoff for a reason, because you're getting double and triple the points. And if you play well, the final four events.
But they're supposed to be crowning the season-long champion. That is the tagline for the FedEx Cup. Who is the season-long champion? So if Dustin Johnson and Jason Day do not win,
are you saying they're contradicting themselves?
I am saying that. For somehow marketing got in the way of actually having a good competition. So
let's get to who your favorite is of the top five, because we can go off the rails and argue the FedEx Cup for a solid hour. Because that clearly you're not exactly beating around the bush.
This is what the podcast is about.
We kind of know which camp you're coming from. You're not a fan of how the points are distributed and how it all works out.
Players still aren't either, but.
How many guys are really passionate about it that you talk to up and down a driving range who really are like, you know, I can't stand.
See, it's actually funny you mention that, because the BMW Championship, you were in Chicago for at least a couple days, right?
Chicago?
I was in Indianapolis, but yes, I was. Thanks for remembering all our great banter those couple days.
Yes, of course. So obviously the BMW comes down to getting into that top 30, and then players have a mathematical chance of getting into a championship, and you can win the FedEx Cup, whatever the case may be. So these players have no idea what they need to do to win.
Some guys do. To get in the top 30. That's all the guys care about.
They have no idea.
Right, to get into the top 30, but now they know.
Kind of.
Yeah, they do.
Because the number 28 needs to have eight different scenarios happen.
Right, but he knows that if he needs to win and have everybody else ahead of him finish, you know, play badly in an inverse way. So he needs Jason Day to finish second to last. They know. I don't think they know until
scenarios.
They get here, but now they know. Yes, they know. It's published all over the place. They know. Go up and win. Somebody's going to take home $10 million.
So you think Kevin, if he's...
Guys, let's get it back on the tracks, because we're going to get bogged down in semantics for the next half hour. Of the top five, who's playing the best right now?
Oh, probably Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
The guy who won 2 weeks ago. He's a favorite every single time he tees it up.
You were saying he's the favorite, even if Jason Day is healthy?
Dustin Johnson is the favorite to play, to win every single tournament he plays.
Over everyone else? You're saying,
over everyone else.
So you're putting him as number one right now in the world?
Yes. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
If everyone's playing their best, you would take Dustin Johnson?
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know if I'm, I mean, I'm, I would pick him more often than not, but I don't know that I'm, I don't know that I'm prepared to say that I'd be willing to pick him. I'm not that bold right now.
I would still take Jason Day if he's healthy and playing.
Yeah, this week I would not.
That's a big if.
This week, well, I don't know if I would not. I would absolutely take Dustin Johnson this week, but
yeah, four,
to take
four,
him every week, no, absolutely not.
I think 4 months ago the answer was Jason Day. I think Dustin Johnson has showed a different gear in the past couple of months.
But in 4 months from now, it could be him again.
Right.
You know, and it probably will be.
Who are you taking, though?
I think it's probably DJ. I mean, just the pep in his step, just kind of everything that comes with DJ. I mean, he's coming into this thing knowing that this is, I mean, he's got all the money that he needs anyways, but this is just, he puts together four more good days, and I mean, this is just otherworldly stuff. I mean, this is just the icing on the cake of an otherwise terrific season, all right? And all he has to do is play good 4 days coming off of a week break after he just played terrific for 4 days. I don't think it's too much to ask. And it really wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, he's not finishing outside the top five. It's not happening.
The only problem with Dustin Johnson at East Lake, he does not have a great record there. He backdoored like a 64 last year in the final round to get a top five. So the golf course over the past couple of years has not necessarily suited his game. The rough there is very penal. I talked to a guy who played there 2 weeks ago. He said it's just absolute hack out rough. So if they don't trim that at all and Dustin Johnson drives it like he did at Crooked Stick, where he was a little bit wayward, he was down the list in terms of driving accuracy. If he does that at East Lake, he's going
to
be in trouble.
And the conditions are absolutely perfect for him to thrive at Crooked Stick with a soft course had no rollout whatsoever. Balls are plugging.
Fairways are even wider.
His length off the tee as an advantage was exacerbated by having those conditions because he's, what, 30, 40 yards past Roberto Castro. The name that I would focus on, because obviously Dustin Johnson right now would be the player of the year with 3 wins in major. The events that he's won, he looked great at the BMW Championship. I think Adam Scott will be the guy who turns it on at the Tour Championship because he's had so many close calls.
They have putting at the Tour Championship?
they do have putting. Remember, Henrik Stenson almost won it a year ago if it wasn't for Jordan Spieth.
Who is a very good putter.
Yes, you can ball strike your way around East Lake, that it's not necessarily a course that you just need to be a lights-out, phenomenal putter. We've seen guys who are just great ball strikers win at the Tour Championship before. So Adam Scott would be my name to watch.
Yeah.
He's played great in the playoffs. He's done everything except win so far.
Yeah.
If his putting was a little bit better, I think you're looking at a situation
where he wins once
or twice.
Who are we looking at outside the top five?
Well,
Jordan Spieth, defending champ in this.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth. And Rory, I mean, when I look at the list, I don't go any further than Spieth at 7. You know, I know we like Cinderella's and we like, you know, it was a nice story to have Bill Hosta 1 year come from out of nowhere. Those are nice stories. But when you're looking at that list and you go down, you got those top five that we talked about, and you got Rory and Jordan there at 6 and 7, my eyes don't allow me to go any further than that. They just don't. I mean, I know they should, and it doesn't mean there aren't guys down there that can't win the tournament. But even if a guy at number 8 wins the tournament, I mean, it's going to be hard to think that all of these other guys are going to play poorly. This group of 7 is all going to play so poorly. Almost 1/3 of the field is going to play that bad for 4 days that they're not going to have something to say with it. It's just hard for me to see that happening.
I think you could probably make the best argument for Spieth just because of his record there, a win and also a runner-up in 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first year he played there.
He's
so
what, 62? The final or
yeah, and he's said that he's so close to playing great golf, and we hear that all the time. I mean, Ricky Fowler says that basically every week. But with Jordan Spieth, you actually believe him because his stats are all good. He's actually putting better than last year, which is kind of hard to believe considering how many putts he made outside 25 feet. So Jordan Spieth, your eye goes to him. You could also make an argument for a guy like Matt Kuchar, you know, being back in Atlanta. He's played that golf course a ton. He's actually playing pretty well now as we move on from the Olympics. So Matt Kuchar, but like you said, Jay, I mean, our DJ, Reed, Scott, Jason Day, Paul Casey, Rory Spieth, they're all going to play poorly?
No.
Doesn't seem likely, although we've seen it in the past with Bill Haas or Brant Snedeker, whoever the case may be, those guys winning the FedEx Cup.
I would say I'm concerned with Rory. It's amazing that he goes from winning to what we saw at the BMW Championship. It was like a complete 180 because you're throwing all these Hosannas his way. Okay, he's got his game back. His putting looked tremendous. He has a good opening round at the BMW Championship. And then what happened the last 54 holes?
Yeah, we need to queue up this podcast from 2 weeks ago because I'm guessing the tone about Rory's game is probably a little bit different than it is right now. But, I mean, he was second to last in the field in putting at the BMW, who lost almost 10 shots to the field on the greens. That's just shocking to think about from where he was in Boston, where he was second in putting average. I think it just goes to show you this new thing he's doing with Phil Kenyon and kind of revamping his putting stroke. He said he wanted everything to be good by Augusta. That is seven months from now.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see some hits or misses.
It was almost like fool's gold to start this new routine regimen.
He did not expect
within
it.
Within 2 weeks to have that happen.
But it's also weird, though, that there were 2 days off between the two. I mean, it wasn't the typical three days off. But you're just like, there's like.
And he had won a Crooked Stick in 2012.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's just an ounce of this that has to carry over. Like, just a little morsel, just a little kernel, something. Not just in 48 hours to absolutely lose everything. But it's interesting when you say, you know, they want to try to peak at Augusta, and yeah, I get that. Is there any doubt in your mind that one of his on-putting weeks will be at the Ryder Cup?
Oh, no, no doubt.
That'll be on, right? Maybe it's off at the Tour Championship, and he's going to find it in the 4 days before the Ryder Cup.
Andy Sullivan's playing like a dog. I'm sure he'll be. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be 5-0. I mean, this is just how it's going to work. But
five matches for Andy Sullivan?
Yeah.
Could be.
Well,
when he starts winning the first four, you set him out there for singles. Not gonna forfeit.
Let's look now. Ryder Cup. We got the U.S. team minus the final pick. Already a lot of build up to this final pick with Bubba Watson, top 10 in the world, not being included as part of the first three captains' picks.
Big diss.
All those guys had previous experience. So right now, of the 11, there's only one rookie on the U.S. team in Brooks Koepka. Who would you say at this moment has the inside track to get that last pick?
Are you saying should or are you saying will?
We'll say will.
Who will? The inside track's got to be Bubba. It would be almost unprecedented for a player of his caliber.
Happened to Paul Casey in 2010.
On the U.S. side, when's the last time it happened?
Was a U.S.
91,
example.
93? It's been a long time. He's number seven in the world. This would be an enormous diss if Bubba was left off this team.
It would. I still think he has to play well in order to get it. I don't think he can. I don't think he can T20.
No.
I think he's got a top five. You know, if it's outside the top 10, I think there's some serious talks. Because and that's fine too. I mean, I get, you know, whether he should or he will and all this stuff. When you talk about that, when you say there's one rookie, to me, that's why it's okay for this one to be an absolute flyer. It's to be
so like, what if Justin Thomas rails? And he's had a good run through the playoffs. And Bubba's like fifth.
Oh, I think.
Like, at what point?
Yeah. Those are the decisions. Those are the discussions that I think are going to be had if that happens. I really do. I think it's almost a play-in spot. I mean, to me, I'm sure Davis has probably two, three, maybe four guys. You know, Berger. You would just throw the names in there. Maybe even him, Gary Woodland. I mean, there are guys. All right. You know, Furyk, if all those guys go and play terribly, that brings Furyk back into it, although I do hope, I sincerely hope, that ship has sailed. But my point is there's that group that I think it is almost a play-in. Whoever plays the best, then they're going to sit down and have those decisions afterwards, because I don't think it's guaranteed to be Bubba. I think the odds on favor for it to be Bubba, but I do not think it's a guarantee.
There are four guys right now at the Ryder Cup practice Monday at Hazeltine. Mm-hmm. Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger, and Jim Furyk. Mm-hmm. So you would think, and Jim Furyk is not playing the Tour Championship, you'd think it's a bit of a tryout. But where Davis Love and this whole task force thing has put themselves in a bit of a bind here is that they put this final pick the Sunday of the Tour Championship. After play is concluded, they wanted this big ceremony. The intention of that was to have the hottest player on that Ryder Cup team.
And there's not a hot player.
If Ryan Moore wins the Tour Championship, doesn't he have to be on the team because he is the quote-unquote hottest player? How can any other American, how can Gary Woodland win the Tour Championship and you leave him off?
Right.
But that's whole intention.
This is what Will and I, we wore this discussion out a week ago on this podcast. Thanks for listening.
Because the BMW
Championship. Well, no, because I was looking too. If Roberto Castro wins.
Played great in BMW. What if he finishes second in East Lake? He's probably the hottest player.
Yeah. So are you saying that he's going to be on the team?
I'm not saying he should, but if Davis Love is following the entire intention then Roberto Castro should be on the team.
I thought originally it was a good job. It was a good idea have this pick come on this Sunday night. Makes perfect sense. But the way these guys are playing doesn't help you out because there's not a hot player.
Because they're all stressed. with this little tryout.
Latimore's been playing well, though.
Okay, but playing well, but he's not a hot player. He's not a Billy.
Back-to-back top tens?
He is simmering.
It's not.
He is simmering. Yeah. He's not scalding hot.
I don't think it's exactly what they had in mind when they I sort of think that they had hoped that there was one who was standing out at this
point. Billy Horschel.
That there was going to be this person that absolutely was going to be the guy. Everybody's going to be. And instead, we're talking about four or five guys. And we're looking and the Americans are crossing their fingers going, oh, man, we hope like hell that one of these guys finishes in the top three so we can, grab that guy and say he's hot.
I'm hoping Justin Thomas and Bubba Watson tie for third at
East
Lake.
That'd be awesome.
Because then Davis Love has to make a decision.
So we need. So let's write this down. We need Paul Casey to finish second.
Yep.
We need
a two-way tie for third.
We need Bubba and Justin Thomas to finish. We're just filling out the field. Just bear with me, George.
Because Davis is implying that Bubba Watts is not a good fit for this team right now.
He has not implied that.
He's ninth in the points.
Well, he's implying that, but he's turned around and telling Tim Rosefort last week that isn't it. I told Bubba after the Olympics, wait, there's a strategy.
Look, we didn't tell Ricky that. I understand the point. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can parse his press conference to death, the fact that he didn't say Bubba by name. I think it was a wake-up call to Bubba saying, you better get your...
Yep.
You know what?
Well, he hasn't done much since the spring.
He's not done anything.
He's an amazing talent, but he has not had a good summer.
Putting like me. A fellow left
that far. But the guy, I think.
165th in putting. You might be 166th.
He is putting like me.
The guy, I think, who has the inside track.
Justin Thomas.
Just predicated on what he's done recently and then also the existing relationship, being a teammate of Drew Love's at Alabama.
Davis Love is his mentor.
Yeah, Davis Love's buddies, his mentor. They have a ton of familiarity.
He's buddies with Spieth and Ricky, and those guys are on the team. You know they're
part of that little Wolfpack. He's really close with Jimmy Walker also. Jimmy hangs out with those guys. So I think as far as like the next generation, new blood, it seems like the type of guy who would be a great fit and thrive.
I would
and
like to Alabama's NCAA championship team when they in the match play.
I would like to. I think
Bubba makes sense just based on world ranking and all that type of stuff. But I think when you look at the relationship had with guys who the backlog of what would build up to fitting into a team room and all that type of stuff. I'm not knocking Bubba. I'm just saying that Justin would be a great fit and probably has a lot of guys who are already championing and pushing forward his cause. So now that we've gone through kind of the possible picks, what do you think is going to play out in Hazeltine?
Bubba Watson is still the most likely scenario if he just does anything at the Tour Championship. I think that Justin Thomas should be on the team, and I hope that he's on the team. But I think this was a wake-up call for Bubba. I think he'll piece together enough to be on that team.
I agree 100% with everything you just said, and that has
we're good.
I don't believe I'm actually positive that's never happened, but I agree absolutely with everything you said. I really do.
Something happened to you, or you're under the weather?
I'm
what's more important, numbers or fit for that last pick?
Fit. They've got 11. The U.S. should be able to go with 11 they have. They should be able to go, and if you look at world ranking and all that stuff and fit and all the meetings and everything like that, they should be fine no matter who this player is, all right? Not saying that this person is not going – but this person theoretically could go and
play. This person plays like two matches.
Yeah, exactly. There is a chance. If it is Justin Thomas, maybe he plays, once on Friday, and if he doesn't play well, maybe he sits on Saturday and then goes out and plays. I mean, you don't know, so they should be fine. That's why I think you do take a flyer. And having another rookie is not.
There's also a chance here, and it's not that far-fetched, that all three of those guys who are trying out for the team play terribly at the Tour Championship because they have so much self-imposed pressure and external pressure to perform that they're just going to lay an egg. I mean, Bubba Watson has made no qualms about it. He does not like Eastlake at all. Justin Thomas is seeing Eastlake for the first time. Daniel Berger has been kind of hot or cold. You could see him finishing 22nd, whatever the case may be. So then Jim Furyk's back in the
you've
mix.
Slotted the,
or Roberto
the
Castro.
Field.
Or Roberto Castro, so then, Georgia Tech boy.
I'm not sure Jim Furyk is not.
I'd be stunned, considering that he hasn't played in a few weeks, that if he's the last pick. What'd you guys think of the Jack Nicklaus comments regarding the Ryder Cup? Obviously, we've spent the last couple years building up the Ryder Cup. It's become one of the biggest spectacles in golf. We've had this discussion and argument before. If we could pop up what Nicklaus had to say of it being an exhibition, not exactly music to the PGA of America's ears.
He didn't use that word, but he basically, that is
That's what he alluded.
Basically,
yeah.
That's basically what he basically said, that this is more about the, you know, the spirit of the game, and it's fun, and that we focus too much on the result. And I think the PGA of America probably shed a tear whenever Jack Nicklaus, who doesn't live too far away from their offices, said that. I'm sure they didn't love hearing that. But really,
he's right.
I think it's true. I mean, look, I love
it. It is an exhibition. There's no money at stake.
All right?
It's the definition of an exhibition. There's no money at stake.
It really kind of is. I mean, and it's terrific. I can't wait to go.
They have money to players' charities?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. But they're, you know, but
Duval's
it's not.
Actually spoke
right,
up
but it's not, you know, but it's not first prize, second. It's not, you know, the typical distribution or whatever. So it really is an all-star game. It's the baseball all-star game. It's the 12 best from Europe and the 12 best from the U.S. I mean, we get all the format, but that's kind of what it is. It's a biennial. It's a every other year all-star game. And that's just kind of what it is. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't love it. That doesn't mean that it isn't going to do great ratings and that our company isn't going to love it.
And the players.
And that doesn't mean that the players shouldn't.
It is amazing
care
how
as much
the
as they do.
It.
It doesn't mean any of that, but it's kind of what it is.
We love it because the players love it. If the players were just kind of going through the motions, mm-hmm. then it would just be like, all right, it is just an exhibition. It's just kind of fun to see every 2 years. But these players are living and dying with who plays well, what the pairings are.
You have the pressure of performing for 11 other guys, whereas every week in the PGA Tour and your country, every other week in the PGA Tour, you're just competing for yourself. At the end of the week when you walk off, it's, okay, I let myself down, or you and your caddy, I guess. But that, in a team room, it's you got to look the other guy in the eye and think, man, we got trounced 5-4.
Right.
Sorry, like we let you guys down in our match. You got to pick us up.
Yeah, and I love when Jack speaks his mind because he's basically the most authoritarian.
He'll give an unvarnished opinion.
Right.
And yeah, exactly.
But he is also decades removed from what the Ryder Cup was and what it's become.
Right.
I mean, this is just sports nowadays. You just can't have two teams going at it. And it's just
and have somebody not here,
right? And you're high fiving afterward and giving butt pats, and that was fun.
Especially when there's been as much domination as there's been on the European side. You tell that American side that they shouldn't care about the result.
There is some
tell
nastiness.
Them don't care about the result, and that what no matter what happens this week is going to be good for the game.
Yeah.
They're not going to buy it.
Right.
Well, and the big difference. I mean, I got to cover a couple of European Tour events the end of May. Is that people over there actually know those guys' records? Like off the top of our head. You don't know what Bubba Watson's.
I don't know Jack Nicklaus's record.
But over there.
3-8. 3-8 for Bubba Watson.
I don't know Tiger's record.
Over there, they know guys' records. Just talking with people at a pub, they will know that
so-and-so
is 16-8 and whatever.
everyone knows Jim Furyk's record, but it's for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Speaking of Europeans, we got a couple other quick notes to sneak in before we say goodbye. How about Beef locking
up
his PGA Tour card?
It's pretty cool.
I think he's going to be a great personality and fit on the PGA.
He's going to be terrific. I mean, I don't know how much he's going to play, but he's certainly going to play more than he played this year.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
he'll be able to get
so
that
I think
dozen,
that's good. Yeah.
Dozen
that's what I'm saying
so.
12 to 14 events and I mean he can I think it's absolutely terrific. I think Europeans are probably not happy because every time there's a start over here it means there's one less in Europe. But I think it's great. It's going to boost his profile. People are already excited about it. More
needs,
beef the
he needs, he just needs to keep playing well. That's the most important thing because it's fun if he's, you know, this jovial guy who likes beer and he's, you know, he's terrific with the fans. He'll sign autographs for 2 hours.
Yep.
But if he plays like a dog, it's really not going to matter.
How would you compare him personality-wise?
Personality-wise?
As far as being the next, like, I don't know if John Daly's the apt description because he obviously felt
he's like John Daly without all the vices.
That we know of, yeah.
And John Daly was a once-in-a-generation talent.
Yeah.
Beef Johnson is not that good.
You don't think Beef can win majors?
Beef doesn't. Yeah,
Beef
I'm not
majors.
Sure. Well, he could. Well,
he could not win majors. He
played well enough at the Open.
Yeah, he finished fourth
he played
at the
well
Open.
At
it's
the
not
open.
Like he's some complete
the British Open, right?
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he was 20 shots behind?
Yeah, no, I Come get on. That, but so wasn't a lot. I'm not saying that he can't. There are certainly a lot of. Sean McKeel won a major, okay? Ben Curtis.
That was a dire period in golf history.
Ben Curtis won a major. Like, I'm just saying, there are people with a lot less ability than him that have won majors, all right?
So he's
I'm
still
not,
young. It's not like he's some guy.
But he'd be on a list of 50 guys who could.
But let's start with winning a tour event. I mean, he didn't even win the Web.com tour event where he was leading.
Yeah.
All right. So
he can win a tour event.
Let's kind of walk before we run.
Yeah.
And the last nugget to sneak in before we take a look at this week in golf. How about the Anthony Kim sightings.
Just in time for the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup's about 11 days away. Anthony Kim resurfaces.
He's going to be the final pick, the 12th player on there.
He was a star in 2008.
I don't know what it means, but we saw him twice last week, which was more than we've seen him combined in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Or however many years it was. The more Anthony Kim sightings, I'm fine with that. I don't know that it means that he's going to come back, but hey, at least we know what he looks like.
Fully, because I had seen videos of him playing in the last 5 to 6 months from friends on the PGA Tour. So the reports from a couple years ago that he's not playing, the guy's playing a lot.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing with his free time. But the big mental hurdle for him to get over is to actually commit to coming back and failing. Mm-hmm. And that he has this mystique buildup. And it's like what so many high-level athletes have, that you're used to having a certain standard that you're able to compete at, and he doesn't know if he's able to get back there. It's the fear of the unknown.
Know until you try.
He also needs motivation to get back on the PGA Tour. He's still collecting an insurance check. Until that money either dries up or he gets bored and he wants to figure out if he can maximize his potential once again, he really has no motivation to get back.
Yeah, and that stinks because I'd like to see him back.
Absolutely.
Heck of a guy to watch.
He was awesome.
I was a huge fan. I thought he was great on the PGA Tour. All right. For Jay, Ryan, I'd say you guys did a pretty good job. I don't know if you were Anthony
Kimball.
As usual.
Pretty good. As usual.
Come on. Thanks for joining us on the Monday Scramble podcast.